Progressive presents Get Pumped. Inspiration to help you do insurance stuff.
Okay, time out. You're going to let your budget be the boss of you? Take control with Progressive's Name Your Price tool. Tell us what you want to pay for car insurance, and we'll help you find options that fit your budget. Here's some music to get you pumped. Da-dum-da-dum-da-dum-da-dum-dang-dang. I hear your budget laughing at you. Oh, wait, that's just those kids laughing at me. Ignore them!
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.
Hello and welcome to a special E3 2018 edition of Video Games to the Max, giving our reactions analysis to the Bethesda E3 press conference that just finished. The Devolver one is still going on right now, but we're going to skip that one this year, I'm sorry. And they had quite a bit to announce. None of it was really unexpected. I think, you know, Randy had predicted Doom 2. No The Rock, though. Sorry.
Yet. And no The Rock, yet.
We got some surprises at the end. But let's go through this here. I should say that I'm your host, Sean Garmer, and you already heard Randy. And, of course, the usual co-host, Mark Morrison, is here as well.
Howdy.
So, they started off with a little mini concert by Andrew W.K., who's Ready to Die is the main theme of Rage 2. The party song is also on the Rage 2 gameplay that they showed, which Rage 2 looks like, well, it's definitely made by id Software and Avalanche. The gunplay is similar to Doom. I mean, it looked fine. It's interesting. It's a game I think I would get when it's like $30 or something.
It looked pretty fast-paced.
Yeah.
It definitely had a lot going on. It looked interesting. I'm with you. I don't know if I'd get it when it first comes out, but I'm sure it's going to sell well.
Yeah.
Sorry if you're an ESO fan and you're listening, but two things that I couldn't care one iota about: the Elder Scrolls card game is being relaunched. And it's also coming to consoles. Yeah. And also, the Elder Scrolls Online has another expansion or whatnot. So the first big surprise was Doom Eternal, which is Doom 2, basically. And they just said more at QuakeCon. while showing you more of hell, I guess. I really enjoyed that first Doom reboot, so I'm down for another Doom game. Again, it's probably not. This is not. I bought the first Doom on sale. I'm probably gonna go the same route again.
Yeah.
Now the Doom reveal kind of went like most of what this press conference went for was, let's pat ourselves on the back a bunch and then just say, hey, we're working on this game.
Right.
I mean, the ending kind of did the same thing, but this press conference definitely did not get off to the best of starts, because it really felt like EA's, where they just talked and talked and talked and talked.
Right,
and
exactly.
I mean, I understood you have to get that stuff out there.
They really only had one game to show, though.
Yeah. Well, not really. I mean, people do love the online game, and I'm sure somebody plays the card game for them to spend time on it. Obviously, we are not that audience, but those kind of games are really tough to make sound exciting, but they had to get that stuff out of the way. But it just seemed like some of the newer game reveals, they didn't have a lot 4, so they just threw them out there and went, okay, yeah, it's coming, but that's all we're going to say for now.
Then Quake Champions. This felt like the most draggy part because he talked a lot to get to the point of saying, hey, it's free to play right now, and if you keep playing past the free to play, it stays free for you, which I guess is a decent way to get people to play. I'm sorry, just not my thing at all. So,
yeah, it seems like online arena shooters are kind of falling by the wayside.
Well, yeah, because PUBG and Fortnite just basically took all the moved what? Everybody into a different direction.
Yeah.
So you get Prey, which was started by a stupid video having a CG mimic appear, and they continued the bad comedy before announcing, or while they also announced the Mooncrash DLC, and also announced that Prey will have a special mode called Typhon Hunt.
Yeah.
And it's also going to be playable in VR with some single player added into that VR experience too. I mean, you reviewed Prey, you played Prey, Mark. I mean,
it's a neat idea. I don't know how well multiplayer will work in that game, but I might give it a shot. I liked Prey, but it was pretty unstable on PS4, so that's why it wasn't as good as it should have been.
Anything for Prey on your end, Randy?
No, it's another game I haven't played. I kind of like the Prop Hunt-esque side deal that they threw in there that was supposed to come out today or whatever that was. Other than that, where's it mine?
Yeah.
So Wolfenstein also got a little bit of action as well. They have a brand new game, very much like, you know, when the first Wolfenstein came out, they got the Old Blood expansion. This one gets a Young Blood expansion. It is based around BJ Blazkowicz's 2 twin daughters, which we didn't even get the names of. I'm assuming that'll come in some kind of press release.
I imagine it'll be like Helga and Inga.
God.
Or like Hope and Glory or something. Like,
yeah, something patriotic. Just like, all right, we get it. You hate Nazis. Well, so it'll be co-op. And I can't wait to hear, oh, not only do we get a female lead in Gears, we get a double female lead for Wolfenstein. The world has ended or something to that extent. People just hush. It's okay. There's also going to be a VR Wolfenstein as well, where you're like a cyber hacker trying to kill zombies. I'm interested in the Young Blood thing. I will go. I'm always down for anything Wolfenstein since the New Order came out.
Yeah.
Do you like the reboots of Wolfenstein, Randy? Or
I love the first one. I haven't got around to the second one. Wes hated it. The
second one's awesome.
No, I kind of agree with Wes. Like, I didn't like it much.
It's hard. It's, yeah. That kind of dampers the mood a bit.
It's hard. It screws up the stealth system pretty badly. Has some technical issues, at least on PC.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, I'm glad that they didn't spend... I mean, the first... What, this was like the first 45 minutes, I want to say, before they finally got to Fallout 76. So they didn't spend too much. It felt like it went slower than it actually probably was. But... So Fallout 76 is what it was rumored to be. An online-only game. It is not hardcore survival. They called it softcore survival because all of your stuff goes with you. There's no servers. There's a server, but you're not going to feel like you're on one. There's not thousands of people on it. There's dozens of people on the server with you. I'm guessing that they mean that anytime a friend wants to get in your game, they can get in, or you can go into their game, or because you aren't locked into something. You can play solo, but obviously it's more fun with friends kind of deal is what they felt like trying to say. I mean, you guys are the Fallout folks, so.
I mean, I may give it a shot. It'll depend if it has like a online fee, like a, you know, subscription to keep playing it or not. If it does, forget it.
I don't think it will.
That helmet looked pretty cool, and I think the online, like the nuclear thing, looked pretty weird.
It's one of those things you have to kind of see how it all is going to work out. I mean, they explained a lot, and the more they explained, the more I was really into it. But so, it's still confusing.
It's the opposite of Anthem,
right? But I mean, it's still kind of confusing. So. Obviously, you can bounce around servers because they're never going to make you feel like you're switching servers, but obviously, you're not going to just be stuck with the same people all the time. But your stuff moves over, so when you jump in, all of a sudden your buildings are going to show up in their servers. Are the nukes going to like be permanent? Is that just their way of continually refreshing the world? Is letting people get to nukes? It's going to be interesting to see kind of how all of that intertwines with each other, and you could tell by their press conference, they're like, we have a bunch of ideas and we have zero clue how it's all going to work, but we're going to go on this great journey with everybody, and some of it's going to work great, some of it's not, but I have faith in them that anything that doesn't work, that they will work through and fix and go, okay, that idea was better on paper, kind of a thing. So I'm more sold on it than I was, but I still have a lot of questions that aren't going to be answered until you can get your hands on a beta.
Yeah.
They are going to have a beta, as Randy mentioned, and it is coming out this year, November 14, 2018. So that's their one big game of this year. And I mean, look, I think there's a lot of people that are still kind of, I don't know. But I don't think it's like, should be getting the hate fest that it was getting when the rumors were coming around.
No, again, it's the side game. So it's fine. If you don't like this Fallout, it's not like every Fallout's going to be like this. When Fallout 5 gets announced, it's going to be the regular single player game. It's fine.
I think people hear online survival game and they immediately get pissed.
Yeah, and I think that's why they took the approach of we're not going to make it hardcore survival, where I think this is going to be more of a, hey, if you don't like survival games, you can try this one.
I mean, I go back to the time when Rust first became a thing, and the group of guys that I play with, we probably played 60 to 70 hours within like a week and a half period. We got like just hooked on that game. Obviously that game is flawed as all hell and not a very good game, but the premise of building a base and taking over a really good area of the map and defending it against other groups was really entertaining, and we found a lot of fun ways to do it. You put it in the hands of Bethesda and add in quests that you could do on the side and everything like that, I think it could be really, really entertaining. Again, the people that have had those online survival games haven't really been the best developers, and from what I've seen, it's just been more a buggy mess than anything. So I think it could work. Again, if this isn't for you, you can wait for Fallout 5. It would be just fine.
Yeah.
Well, and then they did announce Fallout Shelter officially on PS4 and on Nintendo Switch. It's still going to be free, and it's basically going to be out by the time you're listening to this, or live, you know, live right now. It's probably going to be available in like an hour. So
yeah, I keep refreshing. I'm waiting.
Then they announced... go ahead.
I was going to say, I'm kind of curious about Fallout Shelter on like Switch. Because I can't, like, the whole, it's on mobile because you need an online, you know, check for it to work.
You can go online with a Switch?
Yeah, not portably. I mean,
if you go to where there's Wi-Fi, you can. I mean, most people don't play their mobile games. I mean, yeah, they do, but there's a lot of people that will play their mobile games at the house, too.
Yeah.
So. Then they announced, speaking of mobile games, Elder Scrolls Blades, which is their newest one. It looks really good. It's very high-end, so S9 Plus, whatever the latest iPhone is, that kind of thing is going to be what's playing this game, not, you know, the older models of any phone. So get ready. If you want to play this game, make sure you have memory available and a high-end phone, because it looks freaking great. There's three modes, a roguelite mode, an arena mode, and the town, which has the quests and all that, dungeons, which are both handcrafted, and they are procedural generated as well. There's early access that's going to be available soon, but it is free as well, so, which I was surprised by with how good it looks that they made it free, so I guess that's a plus there, but that's on that end. I mean, I'm not playing it because there's no way I'm going to have memory available on my phone for that, but yeah.
Yeah, I doubt my 8-year-old tablet could run it too well.
I don't even know if I, whenever I do get the S9 or whatever, if that would be a thing I would want. So, you know, if you mobile players like playing games like that, have fun. And then they ended the show by announcing, finally, Starfield, the long-rumored original IP game that Bethesda had been working on. It's basically, I guess, you know, Elder Scrolls in space or something to that effect.
Who knows? They showed a spaceship.
Yeah, they just showed, I don't know if that was a spaceship. It looks like a satellite, and that's it.
All right. Yeah, true.
And then they announced Elder Scrolls 6 with just a nameplate. That's it. So, I would assume, like you said, Randy, this is the goodbye to PS4, Xbox One, and hello, PS5, Xbox, yeah, whatever.
Well, because they said with Starfield that it was for the next generation.
Yeah.
And they said that Elder Scrolls is coming after that. So, I mean, I know a lot of people are losing their shit, but I mean, you got to think, you're looking at 3 to 4 years for the next Elder Scrolls game.
Yeah.
Because you're looking at Microsoft is hinting at next year would be for them. PlayStation is trying to hold off a little bit more. I don't think Starfield's going to be a launch title, so you got to think it's a year after the new systems come out for Starfield, and then they said that one's coming out before Elder Scrolls. So I get it, because I know when the next Metroid Prime thing popped up, I was the same thing. Anytime like the Last of Us stuff would pop up, even though it's a ways away, I'd get super excited. Same with Final Fantasy VII. So I get the hype, but it's one of those them just going, "Hey, we're making it." I mean, you guys can stop asking, please.
Is similar. I think Last of Us and Final Fantasy VII is not, because they got trailers of some sort. You felt like this felt more real to you because the trailers are there. Where, you know, we know FF7 is not coming for like 4 or 5 years or whatever, probably. You know, I know Square will probably try to make it seem like it's coming earlier, but I'm sure there will be more development hell that happens. With Nomura, it's always the case. But.
Well, come on, man. Look how quickly he banged out Kingdom Hearts 3.
Oh, yeah. So, I think it, you know, the people that are saying, oh, shut it down, they just won E3. I can't give E3 wins to a nameplate. I'm sorry, I can't.
No, and you can't win E3 when the first half of your press conference is boring talking and like patting on the back. It's not like all of these games are coming out this year.
Just one. Right? This was not even Rage 2. That's next year.
Yeah, because it's coming out spring 2019. Like everything else. Good grief.
Yeah, so only Fallout 76 is coming. That's it.
Yeah, basically with Starfield and Elder Scrolls, they just went, okay, stop asking.
Yeah, exactly. Like, hey, it's in development.
Which is great, and I'm glad that they showed, like, said, yes, we are making it. But it's not, as you said, it's not a trailer. It's not anything like that. And it's one of those things that we all know that there's going to be another Elder Scrolls game. It's not like the Final Fantasy VII remake, where people were asking for 15 years, and they finally went, okay, finally. Like, this is, okay, another Elder Scrolls is coming. Obviously, Skyrim was so popular, they're porting it to everything. I wish there were...
And they made fun of it.
The Echo and
with the Alexa.
Refrigerator and stuff. That was one of my favorite things. But obviously, it's a franchise that continues to have legs. So everyone knew it was coming. So it's not a, oh my God, they're actually doing it kind of a deal.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I'd still give the conference a solid, like, what, 7?
I'd probably give it an 8.
Yeah.
I'm right in there. Yeah, I probably a little bit more skeptical and give it a 6. Just, again, because, I absolutely love what they did with Fallout. Yes, it took up a big chunk, but it was a lot of video and it was a lot of questions that got answered. And that's what you want on these conferences, is like, all right.
They just showed Anthem how to do it.
This is. And everything else to start with that was way too much patting on the back on stuff that doesn't need. And just they talked a lot about Elder Scrolls Online and then showed a little bit. And then they talked a long time about this. So that it was like, there was, to me, it was too much talking at the beginning. And it really kind of got me in a down mood. And I was like, okay, this is boring. The second half, obviously, when they were showing Fallout, that was great. But I can't put it up there kind of where I was having the Xbox conference, because again, the first half was a little bit on the slow side. Again, they showed great stuff. Fallout looks excellent. So I'll give it a 6, but more leaning towards the 7 side.
Hey man, it opened with that awesome Andrew WK performance. How could it go wrong?
Hey, that finished a lot of bingo cards for people.
That's why I gave it a 7. I enjoy Andrew WK. I'm not going to hate on that. I think Raid Sue looks good. The other stuff is, hey, we're working on this, We're letting you know we won awards that nobody gives a crap about, but we won them. And then 3 games that is very low on the popularity scale for Bethesda that they took way too much time on at the beginning. I think Fallout 76 just showed everybody how you show off a game that people are interested in knowing more about. Show video of different things that you are explaining to people. Then you can have him talk a little bit, whatever. Then show video again. Don't sit there and have somebody talk for 10 minutes and show nothing. And pictures don't tell. You know, I know pictures tell stories. They don't tell stories anymore for people. You got to have video. And, you know, then they look ahead to the future, which I think is nice. But it's a long ways away. So I'll settle around a 7.
Sure.
But all in all, I mean, I had Devolver Digital's off in the background and it looked just as pokey as last year's.
Yeah.
It was great. There's one game, I can't remember what it's called, something banana something or whatever, which looked really fun. But I wasn't really focused on it. But I do have to say today's press conferences, I mean, out of the two, both were enjoyable. Both showed a lot. My wallet is screaming in pain. And we still have a ton tomorrow, so.
Yeah, that tomorrow is going to be really interesting because Square, all their games that we know have already been showed off in some way or another. So it's how much do they show those games?
Didn't listen to me. Don't show anything until yours. Unless they are going to show a lot of the Final Fantasy VII Remake, or they're going to really delve into Kingdom Hearts and things like that. Unless you got other things up your sleeve, you gave up a lot in the Xbox press conference.
I'm sure they'll have some Kingdom Hearts 3, like, collector's version where it comes with a Keyblade or something.
Yeah. Sure. But all right. That's it for Bethesda. Like Randy said, we've got 3 more press conferences on Monday to get through. Square Enix's first, then Ubisoft, which I'm sure they will have pretty deep dives into Assassin's Creed and several other games. Splinter Cell is still up in the air there, if you know that's going to get announced. And then Sony has theirs. So we'll be back with three more tomorrow. Until then, make sure you hit subscribe so you can get all of our E3 press conferences and, of course, the regular episodes as well when those happen. And if you subscribe to the whole W2 Network, you get everything we do. And we will see you guys tomorrow. Peace.
Later.
When we go out to eat, we never agree on where to go.
I want burgers!
Pizza!
Tacos it is.
The one thing we do agree on is we all want unlimited high-speed data. That's why we switched to MetroPCS.
Stop by MetroPCS with the whole family and get four lines with unlimited LTE data for just $100, period. MetroPCS. Wireless. Figured out.
Coverage not available in some areas. Requires new line. During congestion, the fraction of customers using more than 35 gigs per month may notice reduced speeds. Video streams at up to 40p. No tethering. See store for details and terms and conditions.